Yeah.
Goodness, I'm so good. I'm just in a heartstopper whirlwind. How about you?
I'm the same. Oh my goodness, season two was so good. It was
Was
so good.
so good. It was so good. Yeah.
I loved every minute of it. It was great.
How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it at least three or four,
Okay.
especially the scenes that we're talking about. And episode one, I've watched a few more times. It's the first one, of course, that we're going to record fully in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, what about yourself? Have you racked up like
I've only
a lot
done
of these?
twice, only
Very
twice,
good.
and pacing myself. And
Yeah.
yeah, I have a lot to say, but I'm gonna keep watching. Today, I'm gonna watch more
Yeah, I
for
know.
sure.
It's just so good. But should we get stuck in? We've kind of started the episode already, so
We have.
we can just carry on.
Sure.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're tuning in for the first time, or if you've listened before, this is the Proper Full on Gay Podcast, that show where we talk about Heartstopper and use what happens in the show as inspiration to talk about things in the real world too. This is a really indulgent episode. We're going to pick our top 10 favorite moments from season two. So excited. And I've got such an excellent guest. Em Marinelli's back with us on the podcast. Hello, Em.
I'm so excited to be back. Yay. I have so many things to say about season two. So I don't even know how we got to 10 moments because there's like hundreds of moments. So I think we did a really good job.
I know. It was so hard to pick out. It was so hard to pick out some of the moments and decide between them all. It's so hard. There's so much great stuff. And I find with every time I watch it just grows on me and grows on me. Like I just love it so much more
Yeah.
every time I see, a scene or a clip or whatever it happens to be. Why don't you tell listeners, for people who have maybe joined us for the first time, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself?
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Em Marinelli. I use she and they pronouns, mostly they pronouns. And I'm a marriage and family therapist in California and Vermont. I split my time between those places and work a lot with LGBTQ community. I also identify as part of that community, and I'm just a huge Heartstopper fan.
Oh, it's so good. I haven't even introduced myself yet. I'm
Yeah,
like
introduce
all over the
yourself.
place. I'm Jamie. I use he, him pronouns. I don't have much to say about myself. I'm not going to
Don't
quit.
say.
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. I'm a Heartstopper super fan and podcaster extraordinaire. Even if I do say so.
Yes, you can definitely say so. It's true. Your Heartstopper podcast is the greatest. It's really,
Oh,
really fabulous. And especially this last round of looking at themes and thematically what's happening in season one, it was just fantastic. I love the episode by episode two, but like you really did a deep dive in beautiful ways. So you should be very proud of that.
You're so
That's
kind.
true.
Thank you so much. I wanted to do something a bit different for the recap rather than just recap. I thought that was quite an interesting way to do it. And I love our new format where we get to hear some of the stuff that happens in the show.
Yes.
Just feels that like you're so much closer to it. I'm so excited to start our episode by episode deep dive in 2 weeks with the Proud Trust. The first episode is with Molly. You've heard from her before, so she'll be back. We're going to do a whole deep dive on episode one, and that will be coming out on the 16th of August. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and tune in to hear our episode one deep dive. But should we get started with our top 10?
Yes, I'm so excited. And maybe before we do, just to offer listeners a little bit of a content warning, a little bit of a trigger warning that in our top 10 favorite moments, of which there are so many more, but in these particular top 10, we do discuss disordered eating, also self-harm and cutting, and just different experiences of trauma related to being, an LGBTQ plus young person in the world, as well as I would say family trauma. So those are some of the content warnings that come up for me. Any that I've missed, Jamie, before we get started?
I think you've ticked all the boxes. You've covered,
Okay.
I think you've covered everything. Should we get started? Should we get
Let's do
started?
it.
Oh,
Yes.
here we go. We each picked our tops, I guess, six or seven moments, and there was a bit of overlap, so we came up with 10. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk through them in the order that they came up in the show. So from episode one right through to episode eight, rather than doing like a a top 10 countdown, because I think it would be even harder if we were going to try to rank them.
This was hard enough, Jamie. It was hard enough to distill it down. We can't do it. We can't rank. Oh, gosh.
I know for sure. It's so hard. All right. Let's get stuck in with our first moment. So this moment is one that I picked from episode one. This takes place at Charlie's sleepover. Charlie's hosting a sleepover with all the gang. Image has been invited along too, because Nick has decided that it feels right, that this is the right time to tell her, which is really lovely, actually, to see Imogen kind of becoming part of that friendship.
So glad
group.
She's in there. Yeah.
I know. She's so good. I think Imogen really brought it this season. Like, I really enjoyed a lot of what she did.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, for sure. The moment that I picked is actually a Tao and Elle moment. And I picked this one. They're out in the garden. They're talking about a piece of coursework that Elle has to submit for her college application. Let's take a listen into their conversation.
It's all bad.
No, it's not. None of your art is ever bad.
Well, my coursework needs to be amazing if I'm going to use it to get into art college.
What about all this floral stuff?
Boring. It doesn't mean anything.
You just need to get inspired. I could be your model. Hmm?
Draw me like one of your French girls.
Is this supposed to be
please,
inspiring?
Please, Jack! Jack! Swimming!
Hmm?
Okay, fine. Sit up. Wait, tilt your head a bit to your left. That's your right. No, not like that. Look at me.
Sorry.
Oh, I just love that moment so much. It really captures the chemistry that they have between each other whenever they're a bit more relaxed and they're just themselves, you know. I really love it.
Yeah, I was glad that they teased it a little bit in the trailer, I think it was, so that I was, because I wouldn't have been prepared, because I already screamed no when the kiss yeah. didn't happen. So I'm glad yeah. that I was a little bit more emotionally prepared. But yeah, it's them, right? And it's them in that, yeah. especially Tao, in that confusion of, I have these feelings, but you're my best friend. And
yeah, that's it.
What are we going to do or not do? And how do I handle this?
That's it. And the conversation, the dialogue between them two with Tao, it's just so funny and so natural. And it's just lovely, you know. And then they almost kiss and Elle kind of feels that rejection. And it's a really difficult moment then. It's hard. Later on in the episode, you see that whenever they're at the sleepover, she talks about how she has to try and get over him now with Tara and Darcy, which is really heart-wrenching. You know, it's like, oh, it's not over.
And then there's that little heart that goes, that floats over to him and then breaks. Ugh.
Yeah, really
it's so
tough.
It's so much. But I do love this scene. I'm really glad it was one of your picks, because also the cinematic Titanic nod that he does.
And yes.
It reminds me of like his interpretive dance, where he's just fully himself in that moment with her. And I think in this season, the times when he's not fully himself with her are the times we run into some trouble. They run into some trouble. So this is one of those moments. And then, yeah, his confusion and fear about losing her, right? And kind of
yeah,
being abandoned, which
it.
We learn more about a little bit later on. But
that's it. Mm-hmm. I have quite mixed feelings about how the story arc continues in the early episodes. Just uh-huh. It didn't feel as authentic as some of the romances that we've seen with other characters.
Yes.
And in a way, I was just so disappointed for them. Like, I wanted this fairy tale romance between Tao and Elle, and it was so awkward, and it was really difficult and confusing, and you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's kind of the point that they were trying to make, that teenage romances are often really awkward and confusing, and you don't know what to do, and you rely on Google for your dating advice.
That was so great. I loved
it. It was so funny. And
well, and just the scene of them, like Elle's dating, the brainstorm with Isaac and Charlie, like that is, I mean, I know that's not this moment, but
yeah,
that's such a great moment of just trying to figure it out. How do you date your best friend?
That's it.
I don't know.
So hard.
It's a great question.
Yeah, it's so hard. Question. We're going to talk about how the relationship continues later on in the episode. But that is my first pick. That's one of my first top moments.
Great pick. Real highlight
for me. Anyway, I thought it was great.
Very good.
The next moment, should we talk about our next moment? So this is one that we both picked. We both picked this moment between Tao and his mum. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is in episode two, and Elle has gone to the art school night and she's met some new friends, including some trans folks, which elevate her in all the greatest ways. And Tao's feeling that. He's on his Insta. He's like, what's going on here?
Yes.
And then, he, I believe in that episode, goes to her house to try to hang out, and oops, she's too
That's
busy. She's
right.
going to a club. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Elle, you're going to a club. Get it. But then, he's later on,
He's
in his room, he's in his room, in his bedroom, and just not doing well. And his mom is really picking up on this. And she's like cheerleading Elle. She just loves Elle so much. And I love how much she loves Elle. And so he's in his bedroom and he's laying on his bed and kind of, down. And she comes in with some apple slices and just wants to have a little bit of like check-in and see how can she be supportive to him when she
Yeah.
knows that he's really missing her and not sure how he fits into her life, which of course is his biggest fear of
That's
losing
it.
her, right? Being
Yeah.
realized. So that's what the scene is.
Oh, let's have a listen to the conversation. This is like, I think this has to be up there in one of my top three show moments for sure. And let's listen.
Are you sad about Elle?
Yeah. Kind of.
You remind me of me and Dad.
What? Mom, that's so weird.
Well, he was the calm one, and I was the outspoken one. But when we were in the same room, it was like perfect harmony. And no matter what happened, we'd both be okay. So when we lost him, I felt so unbalanced. It was like falling off a cliff. So I understand if you're afraid of losing her, if she's growing up and moving on.
Well, I'm stuck here. Same old Tao.
Same old Tao isn't so bad. But if you're afraid of losing her, you have to fight to stay by her side.
Yeah. Also, Elle's not dead, so there's that.
So beautiful hearing her talk about her husband, and like it's such a beautiful moment between Tao and his mum.
So beautiful. It's that perfect harmony that they create, right? And she's acknowledging it's emotional.
Oh,
I
it
mean, just
really
listening
is.
to it again, it really gets me. She's acknowledging that they work really well together, and that she's also acknowledging that his loss and recognizing that that's factoring into how he's feeling, perhaps in this moment about Elle. And she isn't she like his biggest cheerleader? She's like, go if you love her, go get go. Go work at that. Go work to get her back. Like
Yeah.
she wants that for him so much. And I even think with bringing the apple slices that she's it's like a nod to the apple juice, right? She's like bringing
Oh,
a part
you're
of L
so
to him.
right. That's so, I totally missed that. I love it. You're so right. You're so
She's
right.
like, you can have this. You can still have her. Like,
Yeah.
and I love and support you. What a supportive parental moment.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And it's like, it's straight out of like the great parenting playbook, isn't it? Like, it's just lovely. It's so lovely. And I just love that we get a little bit of insight into Tao's backstory and some of his behaviors, from season one about, his insecurity about his friends and about Elle and everything else. We just get a real sense now of where that's come from and, and everything else. Just absolutely beautiful. Really unexpected. I didn't think that we would get a moment like that. And I'm really delighted that we did with Tao's mom. She's just a fantastic character, brilliantly portrayed by Momo Young, I think is how you pronounce her last name. It's just a really beautiful moment. Definitely a highlight for me.
And the way that she's very much attuned to him and really
Yeah.
tracking like where his emotional states are
That's
is,
right.
in addition to the pep talk and the sort of acknowledgement
Yeah.
of the past, she's really tracking him. And at the end in Cantonese, she says, something like, make sure you get some sleep, or
That's
she's
right.
really like, I want you to take care of yourself. This is really hard and you got this. And it's like, oh,
Oh, it's so great.
whew,
It is. It's really
it's
lovely.
wonderful. yeah.
How do we move on? We need to move on.
I know. I want to stay in every scene and just like soak them up again and again.
I know.
What a great season. Alice, you've outdone yourself.
Really good. Really good. And just there was so much that I didn't expect. You know, that was the great thing about season two, is that there were so many surprises with the new characters, and these little kind of spin-off little storylines that we get are just lovely. Really, really, really nice.
And as much as I love Nick and Charlie and could watch them every day, I think season two in some ways decentralizes them and just makes it all about the community, makes it all about the chosen family, the tree, if I will go there, the roots of the trees and being interconnected, right?
Yes.
It's such a great, great part of season two.
It really is. It really is. It's been a joy. Anyway, next moment. And this is another one that I picked. It takes place in episode three, right at the start. I think this is just after the show opens. Charlie's rejoined the rugby team so that he can spend some more time with Nick. It's just classic. It's so funny. I love Charlie. It's great. It's
the things
great.
We do for love. Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things I loved about it was that whenever he turned up at rugby practice, Otis was like so welcoming. He's like, oh, you're
Absolutely.
Back. It was so good and so positive.
It's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really great. After they tidy up some of the rugby stuff from outside, Coach Singh walks in while they're kissing in the storeroom, and she later speaks with Nick about the rugby team and how he's getting on. Let's take a listen.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, miss?
Come sit down, Nick. I appointed you captain last year because you were the only one who can make these boys into a team. But this term, I've sensed some distance has grown between you and most of the lads. I don't want to make any assumptions, but I assume this has something to do with it.
I guess so.
If any of the lads say anything out of line, you tell me immediately, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
When I was at uni, things were pretty bad. That was in women's rugby. Lots of lesbians in women's rugby. That's how I met my wife. I remember what it was like, telling all my friends. Some took it better than others.
None of the guys know about me, so,
Well, you don't owe them that information, okay?
Thank you, miss.
And, maybe keep the kissing outside of team practice.
I really love that moment with Coach Singh. She is, like, talk about a great piece of lesbian representation. Like, that's just iconic. I just love it so much. Really, really nice. So natural and so supportive of Nick. You know, it's a real joy to watch. And now Nick kind of has somebody in his corner the way that Charlie has with Mr. Jay. You know, it's just really lovely.
Nice, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really lovely that Coach Singh is there to support her. I love the picture of her wife on her desk, and to think that in some places that teachers aren't allowed to do that anymore, which it just makes me really sad. You know, that they're not allowed to express themselves or to share this part of themselves with their students or with their colleagues. They can't talk about it openly. Nope. So yeah, it is. It's a really special moment for me. I think it's really nice.
It really is a special moment, especially in this time in the world, to be able to see that and for youth to see that and to think, okay, in this school this can happen, and love can happen, and love can happen in rugby and you can find love in rugby, and that there's hope for like long relationships that are healthy and beautiful, and that it's okay and it's safe, and especially right now in this moment in time, we need that. We need the hers of the world, those people, those teachers, those mentors who can offer that.
Oh, definitely. And the way she so freely shares her own coming out experiences, like from Nick's voice and from his facial expressions during that scene, it's something that he really benefits from, that he really takes away, you know, that he doesn't have to feel pressured to share this information with the rest of the rugby players. And I know that comes up a few times from different people. It's just a really important message about coming out, isn't it? That you don't owe it to anybody. You can do whatever way you want to do.
It's different for everybody. And Nick is having, this is such an important part of his story arc in season two. He's having such a hard time with his internal, the external pressures, but also his own internal ones. I think there's big parts of him that really want to be out. He wants to be out with Charlie and out in the world. And it's just really hard for him to try to figure out how to do that. And this moment is such a reminder that we all do it in our own ways, in our own time, differently in different days, and sometimes we don't, and that's also okay. And that's what this is all about. And also, like, maybe don't make out like in rugby practice. Just don't. I mean, it's okay to make out, but like maybe not at rugby practice.
Oh, it's so true. Such good advice. Such good advice. Let's move on to our next bit. The next bit is another one that I've picked. I picked this one just because of the sheer joy in this moment. I just love this bit so much. It's
Yeah,
just a
I
bit.
wanted to ask you, Jamie, about this. This is such a funny, and not a, it's a great pick, but I was surprised by this pick. Tell me what you love about it.
Oh, I just think that there's like about a minute's worth of audio, but you get like three completely different conversations between members of the cast, and they're just so funny. Like you get a bit of an Imogen, and she's like as iconic as ever. You get Isaac, who's found his voice, and then you get a new character, James, which is a real James is like a real highlight for me in the season. I think he's just such a lovely addition to the show. Let's take a listen. So they're at the bottom of the Eiffel Tower, and Mr. O'Shea has decided that it's time that they do a bit of schoolwork. Like, what a killjoy. And he pairs them up to do like a French worksheet. So let's listen to this little bit of audio.
French, but I know that's wrong.
All right, I don't take French either. Taylor me.
I know you think it's funny to point things out about people and get a laugh out of your mates, but do you ever stop and think how you're actually making people feel? Like, come on, Harry, where's your basic human empathy?
Oh, I can't believe it out, but
so boy. Stupid everybody thinks it was me. Like, just because we're both gay means we must fancy each other. No offense.
No, I'm taking.
Do you think Isaac thinks it was me? I just don't want him to think it was me.
He knows it wasn't you.
Oh. Okay. It wasn't him, was it?
No.
So funny. Like, c'est la vie, such a great line from Imogen. Like, it's so fun. Like, for me, that is the real memeable moment in this season from
Totally.
from Imogen. C'est la vie. And then Isaac has found his voice. He's standing up to Harry. He's like so brave and totally calling out Harry's bullshit.
He really is. Isaac in this season, oh my goodness,
Yeah, what
Isaac.
a change.
What a change. I like to think that Isaac was a huge part of like the moment of the dinner later where Harry intervenes
Yeah.
when Ben calls her the B word. I like to just think that like Isaac was a part of that for Harry. And I don't know about Harry's arc. I have mixed feelings about that, but Isaac and then James in this moment too.
It's
I mean,
just
James, how
fabulous.
cute is
Oh,
James?
it's so adorable. He's so adorable. It's absolutely great to see James as part of the cast now. And this moment in particular is just really cute. Like, he's so into Isaac and he really wants to find out. Like, he does not want Isaac to think that he gave Charlie the love bite. And then he's like, oh my God, was it Isaac? Did Isaac give you the love bite? Like, it's so funny. It's so funny. It was really good.
Yeah,
It was really
he's
good.
really crushed out on him, and I love that. And yeah, and he really like wants to make sure the stage is set. There's no confusion about his love interest, none. And like, and that part is really true. I find in my experience, like when you're queer or something, and there's other queer kids at your school or just around you, that people assume like because you're queer that you're dating or that you're into each other, and it's like, oh, like I love that person, but they're not my type. Why are you making that assumption? It kind of folds in. And so I think that was like a very real way that he was speaking about like how people just make assumptions just
Oh,
because of identity
definitely.
markers.
Definitely, yeah, 100%. That's happened to me so many times where people just think that you're automatically going to be attracted to somebody because they're queer too. It's like, it's not
Right.
really how it works. Attraction works
Yeah.
exactly the same way as it does for straight people. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
It's funny. It's funny. Anyway, we're going to talk more about Isaac's story arc later in the episode. It's a really lovely watch. Isaac and James together, up until towards the end of the season. It's really good. Should we move on to the next bit?
I mean, I don't even know if I'm ready for this next scene, Jamie, because
I'm
it's
not ready
if we
for
had
any
to,
of this. It's
you know,
like,
I'm ready for any
yeah.
bit. Okay, good. If I maybe had to pick a favorite scene or top two favorite scenes, this would probably be it. So this is Tao and Elle at the Louvre. Elle is, let's see, they're sitting on the bench and Elle feels really moved, right? To start to They've gone off together and she feels moved to draw. And he's like, I love watching you draw. And they're just together looking out the window. And then it's this moment where we think, or at least I thought, oh, they're back to French. They're back to their best friendship. And that is wonderful. And then maybe something else happens.
Oh, should we listen?
Yes.
I love this moment. It's really good.
It's so beautiful here. It makes me want to draw.
You should. I love watching you draw. The building is just so cinematic. They should make more movies in the Louvre. I can only think of the Da Vinci Code, and you would literally have to tie me to a chair if you wanted me to watch that actual monstrosity again.
Oh my God.
Elle,
I'm so
wait.
sorry. Let's just forget that happened.
Elle.
You can force him to love you. He can't expect you to be all right with all the bullshit he gives you. You wake up drenched in
I don't know how to do this.
mosquito
Me neither.
bites.
What a moment! So good. So good. When Elle leans in and kisses Tao and then immediately apologizes for it and she gets up to leave, it's like, oh, what's gonna happen? And but now they've reconnected, they're themselves, they're friends again. It's much more relaxed. And they share this really vulnerable moment, where they kiss again and they both acknowledge that they don't really know how to do what's happening. They don't know what's going on. It's such a joy to watch.
It's so honest and real, and it's organic. It needed to happen in this organic way if it was going to happen, not in a forced kind of date way, although that was adorable with the big popcorn. We're not going to lie. That was the cutest thing ever. But it need for them, it needed to be like this. And I think it needed to be Elle really like taking that agency and then sort of allowing Tao to come in. Like they needed to do a little bit of a dance and then find each other organically, and they did. And I love that it came on the heels of him talking again about cinema, right? He's talking about the Da Vinci Code, and he's like, "What movies are filmed in the Louvre?" Which also European Vacation is, but anyway, and I yelled that out. I was like, "Tao, European Vacation." Anyway, but he doesn't mention that one. But it's like him being himself again, which is what's so appealing and how Elle finds him. Jamie, what did you think when you saw that? Were finally like that moment of them connecting? Do you remember?
I was just so happy. I was just so happy. Like I've kind of pined for that moment. Like since halfway through season one, I've just wanted them to kind of find that romance and to find the love that they share for each other. It was just beautiful. It was really, really nice. And in a way, it kind of, for me, it made up for, the previous story arc, the previous points in the story arc
Yes.
where there was all that angst where they really, it seems like they turned the angst up like maybe a notch or two high or something. I don't know what it was, but
That's the inauthentic part you were speaking on. Yeah.
but this just felt so lovely and just it was just so gentle and how it happened. And did you notice that Tao's shirt was covered in butterflies? The shirt that he's wearing is covered in
No, I
butterflies.
didn't. Oh,
Yes,
genius.
yes.
Oh, I love that.
Green butterflies, which is a combination of blue and yellow, which is
Oh,
having
Jamie,
to.
how do you do it? Genius. Ah, I love it.
And I,
That's so
the other
great.
thing that I really love about these moments is that they're often set up by other members of the cast. Like just before this moment happened, Nick and Elle are standing looking up at the ceiling, at like this piece of art on the ceiling. And Elle tells Nick that he doesn't have to understand it to enjoy it. And he replies that it's kind of like that in life too, that you don't have to understand your feelings. Sometimes you can just feel them, you know, you don't have to have it all figured out. And it was at that point that she turns and takes Tao's hand and takes him away from everybody else so that it's just them. Right. Okay, it's just so lovely. It's a really lovely moment to watch. Really nice.
That's right. You can just feel. You don't have to understand it. You can just feel and go on that. When I saw it, I'm here with my friend who's watching it with me, and we're both laying on different sort of sides of the couch. And when it happened, we both did like mermaid fluttering kicks, speak and screaming, because we were so happy for this moment. Because like you, I was also pining for it. And the way it happened and the way it was written was perfect.
Oh, like, definitely.
I just think it's like I know that this season is a lot about how things can't be perfect and shouldn't be perfect, and perfection is perhaps a myth. But so I say that with a lot of spaciousness around what perfect means, but it just really hit all the marks for me.
Oh, it did. 100%. Yeah. It was a real highlight of the season, you know, really good. We've waited so long, you know, I feel like we waited so long. Right up until like they teased it until episode 5, we're like more than halfway through the season. It's like, what?
I know,
you know, it's
rude.
I know.
Yeah. Rude. I've been trying to practice that.
Funny.
I can't do it the way Tao does.
So funny. That's hilarious. That's great. Should we move on to our next bit?
Yes.
This is one that you picked at the art show in episode 7.
Yeah. Oh, this is where, yes, episode 7, and Elle's applied for art college, and everyone's gathered at her art show. Oh my gosh, which I might even cry just talking about it. And there's this artwork that's featured, not Elle's, a different artwork that's featured. And it kind of is these, what looks like maybe letters, maybe almost like Valentine's Day cards,
yes,
type of energy. Yeah. Love notes floating down in an installation, and Isaac sees them and kind of gravitates towards that installation.
Oh, let's have a listen.
It's my one.
Really?
I love it.
Thanks.
What's it about? Basically about my experience being aromantic and asexual. Like, being in a world where romance and sex are prized above everything else when you don't feel those forms of attraction. Growing up, feeling that something about you is different, but you don't have the words to describe what that is. But then, freedom. The euphoria of freeing yourself from those pressures and expectations.
So good. I love that moment. It's really nice. Isaac's whole story arc, I think, in season 2 has just been fantastic. Really good. Really good. Why did you pick this moment, Em?
I picked this moment because I love Isaac. And also, this is his heart-stopping moment. It's not with kissing James, and it has nothing to do with James. James, we love you. I hope you're in season 3 a lot. Like, you're fabulous. It's about him coming to his own understanding of who he is. And the way it's delivered is really, it's not over the top. It's not like you feel like you're reading a book on like a stuff, but it's just enough of an explanation that gets to it through this avenue of art as freedom and freedom of expression, freedom of identity, that Isaac gets to begin his journey of finding out who he is in a deeper way. So it's another way he's finding his voice, and it's his heart-stopping moment. It's the moment when the artist, do we know the artist's name? Does it say anywhere, Jamie? Because I couldn't find that, and I feel bad.
I don't know. I didn't look. I'll be honest, I didn't look, but I'll maybe see if I can find it. If I can find it, then I'll dub it in.
It'll
be like a really bad edit inserted here.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it, but I didn't catch it even in the closed caption. So, but anyway, that when the artist says freedom, that's when leaves circle around Isaac.
Yeah.
So that is his heart stopper. And that's just joyful for me. And I am always wanting authentic, asexual, aromantic, any ace representation of folks any age, but especially youth. Like, yeah. Please let me have that. You know, Alice does that so well in Loveless. And I feel like this character in the novels, in the graphic novels, but also in the show, is just embodying that. So get it, Isaac. Like, get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
I just love it. It's so nice. And I think we might, like, this could be a new character that we see in season 3-2, the artist. Like, this art show, I think, is showcasing all of the new students that are going to attend the college. So potentially this is a new character that we'll get to know more of. And maybe Isaac will become friends with them or them. I don't know what his pronouns are. Maybe Isaac will become friends with them. And And we'll see how that shapes up as he continues on his journey. And again, like with the Isaac and James's story arc, it was James's romantic interest in Isaac that helped him to understand actually that he doesn't feel that, you know, which is really beautiful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's a reason, you know, sometimes, and this may sound a little bit out there, Jamie, so feel free to take me or leave me, but I think sometimes in the universe, we like gravitate toward things for reasons. And I think that Isaac, of course, the writers did this too, but I think Isaac, if we're thinking of as these characters as real people, which of course they do, Isaac found his way to that art piece for a reason. And Isaac's voice was the thing that then it led him to ask the artist, hey, what is this? I forgot what he says. What does this mean? Or what does this represent or something? And that's a bold thing to do. Like if I'm at an art show, I would never ask the artist, like, what does this mean to you? Like, because it's so subjective, open to interpretation, right? And so the fact that even Isaac goes to that place is representative of how his voice is emerging so much in this season. And then what comes from that is just so glorious.
Oh, definitely. And I love that you brought up about like that heart-stopping moment with the leaves and stuff. Like, it was one of our Easter eggs to watch out for, and it was an episode I did with Molly from the Proud Trust, and we specifically talked about Isaac and what we hoped for his story arc and what we hoped for him to get the leaves, you know. So it's lovely to see that. Lovely. And then we see it again whenever he goes to the library at prom. He kind of goes to the school library and he takes the book,
the Ace book.
Yes. And he just is surrounded again. It's just lovely. Really, really, really lovely story arc. Can't wait to see that continue in season 3.
Me too.
Should we move on to our next bit?
Yes.
This is another bit that I picked. So it's still at the art show, and it's Elle's safe space. She seems to have taken, or her art piece seems to have taken center stage, and it's being unveiled. Let's have a listen to what she says.
So, there have been a lot of changes in my life over the last couple of years. But with this piece, I guess I wanted to capture a place that holds a lot of happy memories. Even in the darker times. Somewhere I always felt safe.
Oh, it's beautiful. Let's have a look. 1, 2, 3.
Glad you liked it.
I really liked it. It was amazing. As usual.
I know you're probably annoyed that I didn't tell you I got in.
I'm not annoyed.
Really?
Please don't base your decisions on how I feel. All I care about is you being happy, and wherever you are, I'll still want to be with you.
Okay. But I also still haven't decided yet. I may still stay at Higgs.
I really love that painting that Elle drew, or that she painted. I just think it's absolutely beautiful. It really struck a chord, that message about the importance of space, safe spaces, and how even though Elle had a really crap time at Trium, she still has happy memories of her time there, you know, because she had this safe space under Mr. O'Shea's tree, which we did a whole episode on practically, where we talked about Heartstopper moments under trees. So how could we not have this as our one of our top moments? A really valuable message about the importance of those safe spaces in educational settings, you know, for queer young people.
Absolutely. And also with a coach too, right? It's like having out teachers or out ally teachers, and where youth can go, where they know it's safe, even if they're just having like a moment in a day that's a hard moment. And feel like, yeah, the branches, the root of the queer trans family interconnectedness, holding each other up. I mean, those are her people, you know, those in the painting, those are her people. And I also am thinking that the art space is such an important part of her probably coming into her own artistry. Like this is, you know, obviously like a place where she's supported at school to come into herself as an artist. And I, you know, I know this moment isn't about Tao, it's about her, and I'm so proud of her, but I really appreciate Tao in this, not making it about him, right? Not even if he's feeling it, which he probably is, like, oh, she's that much closer to leaving me. He's saying, this isn't about me, this is about you, and I'm proud of you, and I support you in whatever you're going to do. And I think this is a big moment in Tao's healing around this injury that he has, this kind of like attachment injury that he has about loss.
Yeah, I agree. I included that last conversation between Tao and Elle just because it's so lovely and it's so touching. Like Tao is just Tao and Elle are just really great together, and that conversation at the end was just, I thought it was really nice.
How brave of her. I mean, she submitted this piece. She's like just, she's doing amazing things. I'm so proud of Elle.
I know, definitely. It's so vulnerable. So beautiful, the painting with her and Charlie and Isaac and Tao. Like, it's just lovely. Really nice. A really great addition. I don't think that, like, that definitely was not in the graphic novel. So we get all these little extra nuggets that are just so beautiful. It's great. It's great.
It's wonderful. Great choice on that one.
I'm definitely not ready for the next bit that you picked.
No one's ready for this bit. I think that... between this and Tao and Elle kissing at the Louvre, I think this is probably my other favorite moment of the entire second season, which is Nick coming out to his dad. So this is Nick's dad is in town. This is episode 7. His dad is in town. His dad. And I'm like, Olivia Colman invites them over. Everyone's coming over for dinner. Like, it's so amazing that she would do that and just be okay with all of this. And so Charlie and his family are there, and David, who is Nick's homophobic older brother, stirs up things too. And I have a lot of thoughts about David, which I will not say.
I divided this bit up into 3 chunks of audio. I thought it might be a bit easier. Right. Otherwise it would be like
perfect.
So long. Okay, so here's the first
yes.
bit.
Have neither of you boys find girlfriends?
No, I guess not.
Oh, well, there's still time.
Yeah, I'm not sure Nick's too interested in looking for girlfriends, really.
Don't you dare.
David, be respectful, please, at the table. We have guests.
Why do you always do this?
I'm just trying to help.
Sorry, this is ridiculous.
Dad.
Charlie's my boyfriend. Surprise. I'm bi. He's gay, and I was actually really stressed out about how I was going to tell you. But you know what? I don't care what you think about it anymore. Because you don't care to even see us more than 2 times a year. And you know, every time I do see you, I always think, this is it. This is the time when you might actually take an interest in my life, but you never do. So if you don't care, then I don't care either. And I don't know why you're acting like you are 10 years old, but your bullying just doesn't affect me anymore because, quite simply, I do not care. I like who I am. I like my life. Maybe you should stay with Dad next time. Sorry, Mom.
That's it, like, Yeah, such an empowering moment for Nick. Such an empowering moment for me. I think that's the first time that I've heard that without like shedding a tear. Like I've totally welled up, but I haven't shed any tears, which is great. I feel really empowered myself now.
Well, I definitely am shedding a little bit of tears here. I think that I'm also so proud of Nick. I mean, he just does it. He says this is ridiculous and
Yeah.
he just says it. And I'm so proud of him there. And the other part of this that really resonates for me and maybe for listeners too, especially if you're listening and part of the LGBTQ plus community, is when we have parents or caregivers who are just not able, capable, willing to show up for us, and that we may hope year after year that things could be different, and they just might not be. And this is a moment where Nick is beginning to really radically accept that even though he wishes things to be different, they may not be with his dad.
Yeah.
And that hope for something to be different or to change can be the thing that causes suffering. And I think Nick is coming to this place of, wait a second, I don't need to suffer by wishing for something that might not be possible.
Yeah.
So what if I just release the possibility that my dad could be different and just tell him who I am anyway, even if he never is able to fully see me in all of my parts? He can just know right here in this moment, he can see one part and he can take it or leave it. And I don't really care. And that is a really, really big, powerful message for me of this scene. And I think really resonates for me in my life with my complicated relationship with my father, who I don't see. And this part about radically accepting this is how things are, and I
Yeah.
might not be able to change anything about it,
Oh.
is a really important one. And it doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't condone his dad's behavior. It just means that what I have control over is my relationship to this thing and accepting that things might not be any different than they are. And I see that with Nick, and it's so strong and it's so powerful. And that's why I love this scene, even though it's so hard to watch and listen to. Oh, and one more thing. What you can't hear in this audio clip, or what you can't see in this audio clip, is when David begins to talk whatever silly thing he's talking, inappropriate thing he's talking, and Tori takes her nails into his arm without warning, which is awesome
Yeah.
because she's like, you're not doing this right. And so that's just some older sister magic that's at play that I just love so much.
Yeah, Tori really brought it in this scene and later on in the scene too, where she kicks David's phone out of his hand. Like, yeah. I don't know how that didn't make it into my top list
Tori,
actually, because that's
I know
really
that's a really
iconic.
Good one.
Yeah.
Tori is great here. Yeah.
Outside Nick catches up with his mom. Should we listen to that part of the conversation too?
Yes.
You haven't earned that right. You haven't been a parent.
We're not going through this.
You're okay.
You go through this game because you never hear it.
I actually think I am. Didn't mean for it to happen that way, but felt good to say it.
Do you want a hug anyway?
Well, that went well.
Sorry.
Come on, please, you said what you said, especially to your dad. You needed to hear it.
He's not a very good dad, is he?
No, he's not.
Why doesn't he care?
I wish I understood, but I don't. I think it's a very sad way to exist.
I love how affirming his mum is in that moment. How she tells him that she's pleased the way that he stood up to his dad.
That's right.
That's being edited
Yeah.
out.
No, I think we should leave it in because people also feel the way that we feel,
Yeah.
and she is so supportive and affirming. And you know, the thing about it is, even though Nick is beginning to radically accept that his dad is not going to change, and this is the limitation of what he can offer, he's still a kid, right? A teen.
Yeah.
And he still really wants to understand why. and what I know that Olivia Colman will tell him and that he will find out for himself is that his dad's limitations as a parent has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with anything he did or didn't do. It is not about anything having to do with him. And I think that the message here for young people is exactly that. Like, if you have a parent with limitations who can't show up or don't show up and don't know how to parent, it has nothing to do with you. And it's not your fault. Like, and that is just a really important part of this story. And again, Nick has so much agency in making the choice to begin to accept the limitations of his own father. And, you know, I've just personally had to, over the years, get to this place with my own dad of, you know, coming out to him when I was younger and him saying, oh, it's just a phase, and him just not accepting or knowing parts of who I am and being absent from my life. And when I wish those things to be different, that's when I suffer, and I have to practice acceptance. And for me, it's a practice. I don't just like, okay, I accept that, you know. Yeah. It's much more complicated than that. So I have to keep practicing it all the time. And I think that's where Nick is where he's trying to understand, and he's beginning that practice of radically accepting that things aren't how he deserves them to be.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Should we have a listen to the last piece of audio just to kind of round this bit out? Nick's dad tries to slip out unnoticed. So he's obviously very uncomfortable, and he decides that instead of facing Nick and Nick's mom, he's just going to leave. He's going to slip out. But let's have a listen.
Leaving then?
Yeah. Nick, I'm sorry. I want to be better.
Well, so then. And just say it.
It was nice to meet your boyfriend. Well, I don't really understand these things, but it seems like a very nice young man.
He is. Bye, Dad.
Yeah.
Well. Really such a weak apology, isn't it?
It is. It's almost like he's reading a script.
Yeah.
It's just not even, and I don't mean that like in a way that he's reading a script for the show. I mean, it's not authentic. It's not, there's no heart there.
Yeah. Only because he couldn't slip out without being noticed, you know?
Exactly.
He says that, like, the excuse that he just doesn't understand these things, like, that isn't an excuse. You could make an effort to understand, you know, you could go and talk about it rather than just try to get out through the front door.
I love you. You know, I don't understand this right now, but because this is so important to you and this is who you are, I'm going to work really hard to try to understand it. That's the dad he doesn't have, right?
Yeah.
And what I love about this is that Nick doesn't ask for a hug. Nick doesn't Nick is practicing acceptance here, and he also doesn't apologize for anything. He really doesn't back down about this big choice that he's made to come out to his dad. He just stands, and even his stance in the shot is very strong. It's very embodied. You know, you can tell he's just really sure,
definitely.
Even though it's terrifying, and I'm so proud of him for that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Oh, thanks for going through all that, Jamie. I know that was a lot. it's such a big moment, but it's such an important moment, right? It really is for Nick, but for so many of us watching, because we've seen such a beautiful coming out he had with his mom, and then this kind of more complicated coming out with his dad. And it's important that we get to see all of the parts of what that is for him.
I think the way that it was portrayed in the show was just beautiful. Like the whole way the scene has been put together is awesome. Like, it's really, really good. Really good.
Yes.
Should we move on to our next bit? And this is one that you picked again.
Oh my goodness. I know. Oh, this is Tao and Nick at the prom. They're doing prom prep. So they're helping out because they need Tara needs a lot of help. And they take a break, Tao and Nick, and they're sitting and they are getting to know each other. And yeah, these little mini chats are like a theme of this season, and they have moments like this. And in this one, they're talking about Charlie.
I'm just worried.
How come?
I think the more I learn about him, the more I think, and the bullying, and all the things that happened to him in the past, they all really have affected him. And he still carries it all with him, even though it's over. It still causes him a lot of pain. I don't know, do you think that's true?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think when something really bad happens, it can affect you for a really long time. Like, my dad died when I was 12, and, you know, I think a lot of the reason I get so freaked out about losing my friends and losing Elle is because losing him was just like, yeah.
I didn't know about your dad.
No, don't be weird about it.
I'll try.
Good. You know the bullying? You know how bad it was, don't you?
I mean, I had some stuff, but, yeah, Charlie never really talked to me about it.
Me neither.
I'm really glad that you picked that moment. I'm really glad that you did. It was another one of those moments that at first it didn't stand out for me, but it's really grown on me. It's just lovely to see how Nick and Tao's friendship has developed to a point where they can really be vulnerable with each other. Like, that was a really beautiful moment, I thought.
Yeah, just such a departure from season one, right? Where
yes.
Tao's like, Chip, you know, like, you know,
yeah,
like, you know, the bowling alley, and it's so tricky. Yeah, this is wonderful. And these are Charlie's like two main protectors, right? These are These are his people. And I think in this moment they're both realizing not just the level of what Charlie's gone through, but that he hasn't really talked about it and gotten support around it. And oh, maybe that's showing up now in certain ways with Charlie that we're seeing, certainly in season two.
For sure. Definitely. I think that this is a really important conversation, because it really sets the scene, doesn't it, for the future of episode 8, where Nick and Charlie have a really touching conversation at the end of the episode. This is a real kind of point where it crystallizes for Nick that actually this is something that he needs to talk to Charlie about.
That's right. Yes. And maybe for Tao too, that he's, you know, listening to this and realizing, oh, okay. And also, yeah, that Tao is trusting Nick to be sharing that about his dad. It is such a beautiful deepening in their friendship. I hope that continues. And I think that for me, that, you know, when we think about what's going on with Charlie and his perfectionism, again, back to things being perfect, the need for things to be perfect.
Yeah.
Nick's coming out to be perfect because his wasn't. Is this way of him trying to control Nick's experience, because his experience of coming out was so out of control. And so a lot of the season is about that dissonance between wanting things to be perfect and they just can't be because nothing in life is. And so then things like food and controlling food can be a way that, you know, he has that channeling and that outlet and this kind of unhealthy coping tools, which he talks about later. And I think that as my hit is that as he's watching Nick dealing with some bullying over last season and this season and about coming out, I think he's getting actually activated in his own trauma, Charlie. And I think he doesn't know what to do with it. So it's sort of coming out in these ways, some isolation, some other stuff. And it manifests, in disordered eating and some self-harm, which is talked about later. But I think that this piece that they talk about in the scene and why I picked it is that when we have experiences of trauma, they never actually go away. They just hopefully with time, support, therapy, community, whatever we do, they just get integrated into our lives. And so that could look like, well, these things happen to me, but, you know, on the day to day, I don't have flashbacks. I have healthier coping tools to deal with them, right? And instead of, you know, cutting, let's say, or restricting my food, things like that. So it's not that trauma ever leaves us. It's just that it gets integrated into our lives. And then when it comes up, we hopefully have healthy ways of managing it. And I think right now we're at a point where they're realizing, I don't know if Charlie has as many healthy ways of managing it as he could possibly have. So is there a way maybe that Nick certainly, but maybe even Tao and Nick or any of his tree roots, tree systems can support him with these things? Or does he need even more support than, you know, what his friends can provide and his boyfriend can provide? And so this is the really big moment of understanding how trauma's impact continues, and that we need to, I would hope, we would want to work it, deal with it, honor it, talk about it, get support around it, so that when it does come up again, when we do get reactivated again, or triggered, as people would say, I like reactivated better, we have tools to be able to manage it more effectively. That's all. Yeah. What do you think about all of that, Jamie? I just went into a long monologue about trauma, so please come in.
I love what you say. I just love what you say. I think that you're spot on, that's exactly right. You know, that's exactly right. And yeah, that's a big, I think that'll be a big part of a future story arc. I think season 3, which I'm kind of dreading actually, you know, but yeah, should we move on to our next bit? Because it's along a similar theme. And this is another bit that I'm definitely not ready to to talk about. So this is the closing scene. It's the one that we both kind of picked. It's a really beautiful moment between Nick and Charlie. Let's have a listen to the dialogue and then we can chat through it.
Someone just heard Tao talking about me coming out. I think it surprised me how homophobic people were. I thought things were better nowadays. People would just call me disgusting to my face. And it went on for so long that I think I started to believe what they were saying. Made me really hate myself. So much that I used to cut myself sometimes. I don't want to feel like that anymore.
Do you still do that now?
No.
Sorry. I thought we banned the S-word. Can you promise to tell me if it ever gets that bad again? I just don't want to annoy you or burden you. I don't want you to think I'm some fragile, broken mess that you need to fix me. I would hate that. You're not. And I wouldn't. But I've done so many things that were scary in the past few months because you were there, holding my hand. And I want to be that for you too. Like, you're my boyfriend. Promise me.
feel like I need a minute. It's a really beautiful moment between Nick and Charlie, but it's really difficult to listen to.
Really difficult to listen to.
So yeah, encouraged by Nick, Charlie opens up about the lasting impact of the bullying that he experienced and how he self-harmed. It's beautifully acted by both Kit and Joe. Very raw, very real. You know, it's a really great scene to talk about a cliffhanger, like at the end of season one, we left on such a high, and season two, now we've been left in this emotionally traumatized state. Like, hello?
Yeah, it's really big. I'm so proud of Charlie for being so honest with Nick about this. It's really hard to talk about. I mean, he does open up about eating stuff earlier, but then now to also talk about cutting and just what happens when you hear messages like you're disgusting, and we can internalize them, right? So even if you're not actually hearing them anymore, if you've heard them enough and they're inside of you, you're telling them to yourself. And that's, I think, in part what's happening with Charlie. And then it manifests in, again, these kind of more unhealthy coping tools, like self-harming behaviors. And so my hope for him is that he finds other ones that are healthier for himself when those messages come up, because it's not his fault that they're there, the messages that are there. Can we find other ways to replace those negative internal messages with more positive ones, with more affirming ones? Because cutting really is something that can happen when we want like a physical manifestation of the pain that we feel inside to be external. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe in part what has happened for Charlie, although he says now he's stopped, which is great. So we can see like he's on a journey of understanding and making some changes for himself. And when Nick holds him and they just cry, it just gets me every time, because you just know how much they love each other and how close they are in this moment. And Nick saying, if it ever gets that bad again, I want you to tell me, like, I'm your boyfriend. He's saying, like, let me in. And he wants to be there for Char. Wait, can I call him Char? I probably can't call him Char. That's Nick's nickname. Oh my gosh. Who am I? I'm so bold. But Nick's saying that he wants to be there for Charlie the way that Charlie's been there for him, and he really has. Charlie's been lifting Nick up these past 2 months with all of what he's been doing and going through.
Yeah.
What a good boy. They've been like such wonderful boyfriends to each other this season. Really sweet.
It has
really
been
loving.
So touching. It's great to see how comfortable they are with each other and how their relationship has deepened so much since Nick came out. And I know it's only been like, for us, it's been like a year since we've had an update, but for them, it's been like a few weeks. You know what I mean? But it's still
a few weeks, and somehow Nick's muscles have just grown substantially in a 2 weeks time. But and then when Nick says in the scene, you know, there's no such thing as perfect. And it's like, we're all fragile messes, and
that's it.
And we have to be honest and ask for what we need and support each other. And that's such an incredibly important message of like, you're not alone. We're all messed up.
Yeah.
We got this. I'm here for you. We got each other. Please keep letting me in. And I think that's what Nick continues to do and say to Charlie over and over again. And Charlie's, I think, really starting to really let him in.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. It really is. It's great to watch the pair. It's sometimes hard to remember that they're only like, Charlie's only what, 15 in this episode, Nick's 16.
Yeah.
It must be so hard for a young person to go through this kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how should we move on? I feel like it's hard to move on. It's hard to move on. That was our last moment.
Oh my goodness. We've picked some incredible moments, including just like heart-wrenchingly beautiful, emotionally transformative moments.
You know, I feel like we need to let listeners take a deep breath.
Yeah, let's take a deep breath. I love that.
What do you, looking back on the whole season, I'm not going to ask you to pick your favorite moment because we've just picked our favorite moments, but is there a character in particular that stood out for you in this season?
My heart is really going to Tao this season. I always love Tao, but and Isaac, but I'll say Tao for my one answer because I could give you 20. Just in his way of self-reflecting and understanding how his injury or his trauma, I like to call them injuries, but how his injury impacts how he shows up in his relationships, not just with Elle, but probably with all of his friends. And he's really thinking about that in a different way this season and trying to make a change. You know, there's a part where he begins to write a text, and I forget what it is, something that's kind of an old Tao thing of, but me, what about our friendships? And then he deletes it and writes something else. And I just think that's a really nice transformation and sort of self-reflection that he's going through. How about for you?
Oh, I really love, there's so many characters. Like, I love all the characters, like all of them. And every time I answer this question, I give a different response.
Yes, perfect.
I think this season, I really love the James and Isaac story arc. Like, Isaac's story arc's great. James is such a great new character. I've got a real soft spot for James. He's so happy. Like, he just seems so happy and positive. It's great. But I also love Imogen. Like, I think Imogen did really well this season. She really showed up. It was so heart-wrenching whenever they were at the meeting about the French trip, and she didn't have any friends to buddy up with. And, you know, sometimes the people who come across as being like the strong, popular people are actually the people that, you know, feel a bit lonely and a bit isolated. And it just heart-wrenching, that moment. And then that comes up again in Paris when Ben is being a dick, and she she doesn't really have anybody else that she can spend that time with, so she asks, you know, is it okay if I come with you? You know, it's, again, it's great to see her being integrated into the group of friends. Like, I just love that so much. But yeah, I think Imogen really brought it. And then that whole scene in the restaurant with Ben, you know, that was a really empowering moment. And
just,
you know,
get it
was great.
Oh, she was amazing in that scene. And I loved Nick and Charlie also, just like loving, giving her so much love afterward.
Yeah. It was a really touching moment whenever they followed her out, especially because Charlie kind of hung back a bit and let Nick step up to be like Imogen's friend. And then,
then they brought him in. Yeah. And then I don't know, like, what's going to happen? And does Imogen have a love interest in season 3? There was a little sprinkle, a heartstopper sprinkle there.
Definitely. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. It was really good. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing in this experience. I think that we got like loads of queer joy in there. We talked about the really difficult things too, which I'm really glad that you brought. Kind of deliberately avoided like the hard stuff because I was like, I think Em's going to bring like some of the hard stuff.
Oh, you know me so well. I can't not. But it's so important, right? And that's what this season I think does really well is not afraid to go into it a little bit more. It's a little bit more gritty. It's a little less centralized, like I said, on Nick and Charlie, and it's a much more expansive world.
Yeah.
And it just continues to be like really true to both a fantasy of some of the experiences that we wish we had and maybe didn't have as adults looking back, but also true to young people's experiences now. And I just spoke to a young person the other day who watches the show and loves it and said that, you know, they really think that it is representative of like how people talk to each other and like how youth interact with each other. And it's like refreshing that it's not that it is that true kind of representation.
So
it's just really working. It's really working, and the comfort that the characters and the actors have with each other this season is really there. It feels really grounded and present.
Yeah.
And I could just talk to you about it forever, but
and even though they deal with these really gritty, difficult things, it's always so full of hope and joy.
Yes.
Like, there's always so much hope for the future. And that's one of the things that I take comfort in the show, is that, you know, all these terrible things can happen, but there's always hope, you know?
There's always hope. Those are really important, not just heartstopper moments, but television moments.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
In television history. Like, this is, nothing's like this exists.
Yeah.
This is just like, in the landscape of television, just so powerful. But
definitely, what are your hopes and dreams for season 3? It feels like so far away. Like, it's at least I'd say we're gonna wait until like October or November next year before we get season 3.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah, maybe even January. It depends if they include this winter as like a Christmas story arc we might get.
Ooh, okay, well, that you just gave me you just gave me a hope and a desire for season three I didn't even think about. You know, I love this winter so much. That could certainly be it. I definitely can't wait to see what happens with Isaac and how they continue to, you know, work some of the stuff with the challenges that Charlie's going through, and building support. And I can't wait to see Elle in art school and just like living her life and just being the artist that she is and just all of that. Yeah. How about for you?
I can't wait to see how they build in loads of queer joy in season three. Like, I think Nick and Charlie's story arc is a really interesting one next season, and I can't wait to see how they work through some of those key milestones in the graphic novels. I'll not spoil it, you know, because I know that there may have lots of listeners who haven't read ahead, but I just wonder where those little bubbles and bursts of queer joy will come in. And I love how you talk about the expanse now, the growing expanse of the Heartstopper universe. And I just can't wait to see all those new things that we're going to get in season three, like the art college and all those new characters. Definitely Isaac's story arc is one to look out for. As you mentioned, Imogen, like, where is Imogen's story arc going?
What's happening?
I can't wait. I think there's so much to look forward to, so much. I cannot wait to see how they approach Nick and Charlie's story arc too. I think that'll be really good.
Yeah.
I think it's really needed, actually. I think it's something that's really needed.
I think so too. And also how the parents or just how family is involved. I mean, that was really, I really liked that sort of getting turned up in this season. And I hope that continues because it's so important to see, right? Not only like incredible representation, Tao's mom, Nick's mom, but also representation of like Nick's dad.
And Darcy's mom, we didn't talk about Darcy's mom.
There's so much. Exactly. I want more of that too. What's going to happen? What is going on, really?
Yeah.
We don't know. There's a lot of questions there.
It wasn't until I rewatched, like I was rewatching, preparing for this episode, that montage, I think it's an episode 7 montage, maybe episode 8, where her and her mom have a fight. And I didn't realize that her mom actually kicked her out. Her mom was like, you need to get out.
You need to go. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that the first time I watched it. Like, that is a heart-wrenching story arc. And it's so common for queer people, for queer young people, that happens in their family lives. And it's just, so I can't wait to see that too. We've just scratched the surface there.
It's just scratched the surface. You're wearing a suit, get out of the house. Like, this isn't okay. Like, all of that.
Yeah, deeply troubling, but it happens. Sadly, it happens.
It does.
How can we not leave it on such a bummer, like on such a down note?
Wow. But that speaks to like the all of it, right? All of the parts. The joy, all of the queer joy, like so much queer joy. Like we're at prom. Prom's okay. I was like the leader to the prom, and I'm like, we're at prom. And like, oh, let's just go home. Let's go to Charlie's house and have our own prom. And I think that's so joyful, right? It's like, we don't need all of this to love each other, and let's just play and be cute. You know, there's just those things. It's a what a season.
Yeah.
What a so season. Much, I mean, so much Nick love. Nick just like speaking French, and everyone's like, wait, what? I mean, that is queer joy.
I know, for sure.
You know, there's just these funny things.
Thank you so much for joining us season 2, our first season 2 episode. We have a whole series of 8 episodes coming up between now and the start of December with our usual partners and some new partners too. So this year we hope to partner with a charity called Harmless, which is the UK's leading self-harm charity, and another couple that we're still chatting with. So we've got some really exciting new partners joining us. The first episode releases in 2 weeks with Molly from the Proud Trust, where we'll be doing a deep dive in episode 1. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, listeners, and come back and join us. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on and being a guest. You're becoming a regular. You're like a regular now. It's great.
I'm honored. It was so fun. It's just pure joy. Thank you so much. And thanks for the work that you're doing and bringing these organizations together and having these really important conversations for people. It's really meaningful work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. I appreciate that. It's great. I do love it. I have to say I love it. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. We wouldn't have a show if nobody listened. We really appreciate that you tuned in and that you stuck with us if you're still with us. to the end. Really appreciate it. Feel free to get in touch and tell us what your top moments were from season two. You can reach out via Instagram at properfullongaypodcast or via email to properfullongaypodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, tell us what you thought. Tell us what you thought of season two. Can't wait now to deep dive into all of the episodes. It's going to be really good.
It's going to be so fun. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. All that's left, Emma, is for us to say goodbye to listeners. So thanks again for listening and bye.
Bye, everybody.
Today's show was produced by Shut Up World and featured special guest Em Marinelli and me, Jamie Wilson. Copywritten material within this episode is made available to provide criticism, comment, or review, and to advance the understanding of issues which impact the queer community. For more information, please see our Fair Use and Fair Dealing statement at www.properfullongaypodcast.com.